Welcome to Water to Wine with Mignon Morel, a podcast that helps you grow in your relationship with God and teaches you how to receive healing, walk in your calling, and live full and abundant lives in Christ. Check out our website for more free resources at watertowinecounseling.org. And now, today's podcast.
Well, welcome to the Kingdom Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Simons. I have with me a good friend of mine, Mignon Morel. She's a licensed pastoral counselor. She's a leader of Water to Wine Ministry, apostolic, prophetic, seer, gifted teacher, trainer, all of the above. Mignon, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here today.
Well, so you and I first met, it was a while ago.
It was,
I don't even remember. Yeah. I was in my 20s, and I'm not in my 20s.
I was younger. I'm not young.
Yeah. Well, you had the number two Christian podcast at the time. That was, I don't know if you were aware of this. This is actually how I found your ministry. It was Bethel podcast, and it was Glory Reign podcast. It was the number two podcast.
Wow. It was. No, I was not aware of that. That's crazy.
So you were kind of, and you were back when nobody was really teaching on the prophetic and hearing the voice of the Lord and healing and signs and wonders. You were teaching people how to pray for the sick, how to hear the voice of the Lord, how to interpret your dreams. And now I feel like we've, at least from my view of charismatic land, we've kind of flooded the body with those types of teachings. You know, to where everybody has some series on how to hear the voice of the Lord and the prophetic and things. But you were I'm going to use my language because I know you wouldn't say this. You were a pioneer in that place.
Wow, that's cool. I think you're right in some ways. I remember when God asked me to do the podcast, we didn't even know what a podcast was. And I think I've told you that before. I had to look up what a podcast was, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And it took a while for us to figure it out. We never did any advertising for that podcast. We never did. I mean, it's crazy that it did so well, you know, to go overseas and around the world and basically launched a ministry through that podcast.
Yeah.
And now, as you've said, the market is flooded. Per se, with everybody doing different versions of that, you can throw a rock.
Well, it's
you know,
right. Well, it's interesting because I think there's a lot of people that strive for I want to be the number one known whatever on social media or whatever it may be, podcasts, and that was one. It was never your goal. And even when you had that, when you were the number two podcast or the first, you were the number one Christian podcast that was not a church.
Wow.
You know, Bethel being number one and Glory Reign was number two. Wow. I remember looking at the charts back in the day.
Cool.
And, but the, you actually went from having that place where some people are striving for notoriety and you were being obedient to the Lord in that season, and then you step back from it.
Yeah.
So what was that process like? How did you come from? And I know it's just being obedient to the Lord, but now that you're relaunching the ministry.
Well, some of it was, yes, it was being obedient to the Lord. I shouldn't say some of it because that sounds like a hooded agenda. But the truth is, I was burned out. We had been facing huge amounts. We're not aware we were so popular. Okay. Because we had started just doing, like I said, what little meetings where we were, and the Lord asked us to do that. And then it kind of got bigger and I would go out, you know, and I traveled and did different meetings, but it was never like people probably have now or think now, like, oh, you had these events and those events and blah, blah, blah. We always had a huge amount of warfare. Because we did a lot of healing and deliverance with people who were in the occult. They were coming out of the occult. So we had a lot of warfare. We had, I know I don't want to, you know, go too deeply into that, but it was one of the reasons we got, you know, kind of worn out. We had a lot of shifts that happened, and finally the Lord said to me, take a break, step back. I want you to do something different. So, so we did. And I just like one day just hit delete. And that's basically the way I did it. I was like, I'm out, delete. God says to move on. It's time to move on.
If the Lord's not in it, what's the point in keep? Yeah. So for those that have not experienced the type of warfare that can come with bringing people out of the occult, do you have any stories on the reality of some of those things?
You mean the reality for the people? It's great freedom, if that's what you're asking me. I know. Here we are. Nope. Quit being graceful. For the people, it's great. And for the workers, when you're called, and I know there's like a big brouhaha, you have people that will say, well, if you have a lot of warfare, you're not called to do this and blah, blah, blah. And that's not true. I don't believe that. Just because I actually read the Bible, but there you go. So, we had a lot of warfare. We had a lot of, our lives were threatened. We had astral projection attacks. We had a lot of things in the spiritual world that most people don't know exist. And since I have been raised in a household where the occult was operational, so I knew a little bit more of the background of that, you know, when I came into being a follower of Jesus. So I was more exposed to that, let's say. That makes sense.
Okay.
And, yeah. So we encountered a lot of things that people that probably would hear about things like from Africa and some of the nations, they deal a lot more with that. I don't know. I don't really go into too much of it because people get real interested in that aspect of it. And the truth is God is greater, but it's not easy. And it was not easy. And I learned a lot. And when I went into that season, just so you know, the Lord had told me, hey, you're about to go into this difficult. I don't know if he doesn't tell anybody else, but he told me you're about to go into this really difficult season and you're going to get a lot of training. And I don't want you to freak out. He's like, that's what he says. He's really great with me. He's like, don't freak out. You know, you're going to see it and it's real. And that's the thing he would tell me, this is real. And then he would send somebody, usually another prophet, who would be like, hey, this is what God says is happening. I'm like, yes, it is happening. You know, so we did a lot of that, a lot of dream warfare, a lot of physical, you know, dealing with people, manifestations, things of that nature.
You also function in have a gift as a seer. And I remember, you know, that's been helpful in a lot of different ways. I'm sure now with counseling and things, it's even more beneficial. But I imagine that gift in particular, handling any kind of itinerant ministry, had its own set of challenges in addition to, you know, just the ministry function.
Yeah. You know, for me, my gifts, you know, God never takes back the gifts. For me, it kind of got really, it was always there, but it got really launched, you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit after I became a believer. And during, especially the Glory Reign days, the early ones, it was very, very strong. We would go, you know, to do meetings, mostly healing meetings or prophetic meetings, you know, and I would see the entire thing in the room, everything, you know, people's angels, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It got to the point for me sometimes where it was a little bit distracting, you know, I'd be like, Lord, can you turn some of this down? You know, because you're dealing with people and then you're seeing all of this and there's reasons for that. I know better now that I'm older, but back then it was all training. So I'm like, why am I seeing all this? I would go into cities and see what's over the cities and all of that kind of thing. And
would you say it was intensified in that season because it was a training aspect of it?
I think it was intensified because one, I needed it because I was handling and dealing with so many different things, especially when you do healing and deliverance with people who it's not normal. I would say nothing about needing healing is normal, but when it's not typical, you know?
Right.
If people have come out of the occult, they've got spirit guides, they've got, you know, generational things and stuff. So you need to know what you're dealing with. And a lot of times as a seer, it's very common for God to give you that ability to see. It's very common,
right,
not just to see the future, but you see what is hindering the person, what is over the city, what is, you know, these different things that happen. So I did that. And in one case I was remembering, I went to one city, it was in Indiana. When I came in the city, the Lord had showed me that I'm trying to remember because it was a long time ago, but the Lord had showed me there was something that was buried in the city, a curse that an object that the founders of the city had agreed on, and it kind of was cursing the city at the time. So when I went in, I remember I just mentioned it to the pastor or something because they were having a lot of struggles in that area, just to give you an example, a lot of resistance. And I casually, because I wasn't thinking, mentioned it to the pastor, right? And then I come home and then I find out they call, like, you know, a week later, and they had gathered like the city elders and they had gone like to the spot.
Oh my goodness.
Told me and dug up the stuff that was there and prayed over and broke the curse and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's good things. Yeah. And then I was like, you did what? Yeah. You know, I'm like, it's like, what? And then I'm thinking, what? Oh my gosh, what if I've been wrong, God? You know what I mean? So, there's usefulness for it, is my point. But just right. FYI, for anybody who's like, okay, that's interesting. You know, I find that the Lord typically increases the gift.
I just like the voice for the voice that you use for hypothetical people.
Well, going, delete, click. We're tired of this already. She's not interesting. This is a little weird. I find that God will increase those things, you know? And then when you're in a different season, because I get a lot of people that ask me this, when you're a different season, he turns the volume down to work on other things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. That makes a lot. It's actually very helpful too, especially when you're used to having the volume at a certain level, and then the Lord turns it down. You're like, wait, what did I do?
What did I do wrong? Yeah.
Right. We get very introspective. Right.
And the truth is, he's just like, oh, I have to work on other things with you right now.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, I found when I remember there was a time where I was prophesying over 10 people a day, and the gift of words and knowledge was increasing and increasing to where I was hearing, getting to the point where I'm consistently hearing names and dates and things like that, addresses. And then when the season changed and the gift, it didn't go away. It's just that the availability of it, or the intensity of it, was decreased. I thought, oh no, what did I do? You know, did I lose the gift? No, you didn't lose the gift. It was just a different season. It took me a while because I got very introspective.
Right. Well, and I think that's a good thing for your viewers or your listeners to know, because it's very common for God to do that. The truth is, we can get real attached to the things like, well, I have these gifts and I, you know, and you have those gifts. And the truth is, the Lord's like, I have all the gifts. And right. I actually want to give you more gifts that are just as important in a different way. But if this is so loud, there's no way you're going to be able to focus over here. You know?
Right.
So when I stepped away from ministry, those giftings, a lot of that stuff really got turned down. You know, and it's just been probably in the last, I want to say the last 2 years, it's been ramped back up.
Okay. So you've gone from Glory Rain to now you've relaunched from Water into Wine.
Yeah.
And you're focusing in on counseling. And it's interesting because we've only briefly talked about this, but it's something that we agree on. And that's that the body needs more than just a ministry mindset. Mm-hmm. We need to understand the importance of inner healing deliverance. But a lot of times it's we get so formulaic on removing the demons that once the demons are gone, it's like, you know, you leave people in a wounded state that they don't know how to handle themselves. And then next thing you know, their stuff comes back.
Right. And the scripture is very straight about that. You know, you can clean the house, but if you don't fill it, it's going to be worse, basically.
Right.
Is what it says. So there is a really big need. You know, I've done healing and deliverance. I totally believe in healing and deliverance. But
right.
For us to be able to love people with the fullness of Christ, you know, we need to be able to reach past some of that, to deal with things like the emotions that are wounded and the soul that gets wounded, because our souls are very deep and God designed us to be very deep. And some right. of these things that people struggle with, you know, it started when they were very young and it was never dealt with. And they did not have a good environment to be able to deal with things. And so I really believe in the value of good Christian counselors, people that are well-rounded in, you know, even with a little bit of psychology. I'm trained in some psychology now, you know, as well as the spiritual things, to be able to bring the fullness that God has for people that are hurting. To me, that's something that the right. church has really lacked. The Lord is focusing on right now.
I think we tend to put things in buckets, right? It's either all of psychology is bad, therefore only do inner right. healing and deliverance, right. or, you know, somebody that has a bad deliverance experience and then, you know, they need counseling from the bad deliverance experience. So then they reject inner healing and deliverance. And a lot of times and I understand why we do it. One is based on our experience, but two is it's a lot easier. You know, it's easier to say all of these things are bad than to say, okay, some of them are bad, but not everything that is in that category is necessarily bad.
Right.
It's especially with some of the things that we're seeing with some of the drama within ministries you know, the subject of IHOP, I'm sure it's going to continue to come up over the next year. Yeah. And I'm sure that's not the only ministry that's going to experience that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a subject of that conversation. But it does bring up the need. To me, it shines a spotlight on the need for ministers and people in positions of leadership, not only to make sure that they aren't functioning in demonic influence, but also that they have their own soul issues and things that are addressed,
that they're healthy. You know, mental right. health matters to Jesus. Emotional health matters to Jesus. If it matters to him, it should matter to the body. He is the head.
Right.
You know, I mean, we wouldn't tell somebody with a broken leg, keep walking around until you finally get your healing, drag it behind you. You know, of course, the church might right. say things like you don't have enough faith, you should have more faith and all that stuff, which we're not going to go into right now. But we wouldn't tell them. We would say, go get a cast, get some help. But if someone right. is struggling and the enemy is taking advantage of those wounds, okay, and he's making it harder, we tend to either have the mindset of pull yourself up by your britches and get over it. Just quote a bunch of scripture and you'll be fine. Or we have the opposite mindset of there is no nothing that God's going to do for you. Go be in psychoanalysis for the next 5 years, you know? And so we don't have a right. balance, because we're not balanced. The body's not balanced. So I believe that that's changing. I believe that the Lord is raising up people who are more balanced, to have both understanding, like I said earlier, about the spiritual impact as well as the emotional and the soul. And I also think too, in this kind of scenario, I'll speak from my experience, I won't speak for everybody else, but I think you have to be called, because it was not on my agenda to become a pastoral counselor. God asked me, he said, I would like you to go back to school. I want you to go into counseling. And I remember saying, I'm kind of past the typical age to go back to school, Lord, for something like this, you know? But he opened up a way, and it was not easy. I will tell you that. But the reason is, the church, I really believe, is going to see an influx of really hurting people, really emotionally compromised. You know, we see it in the world right now. It's everywhere. It's flagrant. Okay. Those people are going to start coming in, and we have to have more tools than just you know, get out, you know, and here's right. your scripture, and, you know, that's it. We have to be able to have more tools for them. And the truth is, too, we should be more compassionate and loving and let the heart of Christ come through for them. It's like you said a few right. minutes ago, we like to beat in buckets because it's easier, it's faster, boom, 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 right? But the yep. Lord doesn't he doesn't treat us like that. He's good and he's merciful and he's compassionate and he's kind for each of us. So I think our mindset, Jeff, needs to shift a little bit in some ways.
Yeah. Well, even I heard, this is probably a couple months ago now, there was a teaching that was going around from a certain ministry that essentially was trying to nullify any need for addressing anything of the soul. Just quote the scripture. If you know the truth will set you free. And so you just need to know better. And, you know, that kind of teaching for somebody that isn't aware of their own internal reality and they don't know how to address their stuff. If you just start quoting scripture at yourself, it doesn't necessarily help you to get free when you don't know what the problem is. And that's, you know, and the body isn't meant to function independently. We all need each other.
No, that's exactly right. And the season of independent functioning is coming to an end. The putting that on a pedestal is coming to an end. You know,
thank the Lord.
I agree with you. And I will say this, because there's two factions in, you know, Christian counseling ideal. And I didn't know this till I went and did all this training, you know, but there's two factions. There's people that are Bible-based counselors who only do the Bible and only look at that. And if anything comes to them that's outside of that, or they only deal from a sin perspective, okay? Everything is sin, and this is the way you quit sinning. And which, you know, if you look at the very bottom, that's very true in lots of ways. Everything is sin. The whole world fell because of sin. Okay. But they deny, right. They don't do well and handle well people that have multiple personality. They don't handle well people from the occult, because a lot of times those people have a background in things that these people don't know anything about. You know, so there's a limit in some ways. The problem that we have is that those people are very anti, you know, Christian counselors who have a little bit of psychology. In my case, I'm with the National Christian Counselors. We do get a little bit of psychology, but it's all from a biblical worldview and it's all Bible based, if that makes sense. Hmm. So yeah. You have these factions, and these factions are like, we are right and you are wrong. I don't know. And I really feel like God's like, folks, you know, you're all right. Wrong. Just so you know, you're all wrong.
Yeah.
I'm right. You're all wrong. And you need to understand you get a tiny piece of the big picture. And I just need you to be faithful with that piece, you know, and have some compassion for each other. So in my mind, I see that there's such a huge need in the church, right. You know, that we should be open to using whatever the Lord wants to send, to some extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially, yeah. I'll just say that since the IHOP story first started last year, I have heard of and been involved in a handful of other conversations about other ministries where people are talking about the way that they've been abused and manipulated and controlled and hurt, essentially. And then you start to realize, hey, this isn't isolated to one ministry. This is prevalent through the body. Is people are getting significantly hurt by leaders and people in leadership, and they don't know where to go or how to process that,
right?
With again, without putting things in a bucket of the whole prayer movement is bad, or right. all of the prophetic right. movement is bad, or you know, however that abuse may have manifested in their own personal experience. So, having resources like counselors and people that they can trust and go to is, I think, it's going to be key for everybody.
I think it is too. And it's a shame that this has happened. But this is what you get when you have this kind of a culture, again, that's not balanced.
Right.
And that is
right.
not, and I won't say all of this, but that is more movement focused than Jesus focused.
Right. You know? Or yeah, a friend of mine was recently asking me about some stuff that I went through, and I've kind of come to the conclusion that the problem is not any specific individual. It's like you mentioned, it's the culture, and I'm specifically referencing church culture, the way that we express our faith corporately, that doesn't represent the heart of Jesus very well.
Right.
And I'm not saying every church or anything like that. Right. You know, I'm not painting with too broad of a stroke, but that's what produces woundedness in the body.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And there's not a lot of, it doesn't seem like there's as many, okay, this is just my limited and narrow view of Christendom. So I'm making a big statement, and I probably know a couple thousand people at most.
So it's on you.
But it doesn't. Yeah, it's on me. That's my disclaimer. It seems like historically there has been less concern for the hurting than for people with positions of influence. And it goes to that pendulum of either all the leaders are bad or all the wounded people are, and it's, you know, it's, we need to get rid of the pendulum and just say hurting people need help, and you know, anywhere that they can find resources to get that help, we ought to be appreciative of.
Yeah, and we need to be supportive. I really think that the people that are best suited to do that are believers, because
right.
we have
yeah.
greater insight. And we do. We have greater insight because we have the Holy Spirit, and we have a channel to have the same mind and heart that Jesus has. Of all the people on the planet, we are best suited to be those people. Now, why we're not a bigger faction of that, I don't know. Okay, except that we've allowed, to some extent, the secular world to take that over. You know, to really take that
right.
whole process over so that they have a greater stranglehold on things. But again, I think that that is changing because the Lord is highlighting it. And I think, especially as we see people coming into the church out of the trans movement and out of the, you know, homosexuality mm-hmm. and out of, you know, some of these really weird agnostic belief systems that have risen up out of progressivism or super conservatism or whatever, you know, we're going to see that shifts, I think, to some extent. At least that's my thought and my hope, that God's going to begin to raise up more counseling type, you know, ministries to be able to meet the need, that have
right.
backgrounds, that have his heart, that have, you know, some spiritual backgrounds of deliverance and healing, because you need both. You really do. It's
right.
very interesting. I deal with a lot of people who are not believers, and you would be surprised how many don't have trouble with any kind of talk about the enemy. They really don't, because they're oppressed. They just want freedom. They just
right.
want healing. You know, they don't have to be religious about it. So there is a need. And I think that the believers in general, the church is actually the best vehicle for that.
Yeah. Well, I can just speak from my experience where I had a session with you, and I'll expose some of my own stuff. I feel like every time, because it's always accurate, the last handful of times, it's been, well, you're not at rest. I'm like, I know. where you had a word of knowledge prior to the session, and it's gives in, because I didn't necessarily know where it was going. In that session, I just knew, hey, I need somebody else that has insight that can help with some of the stuff going on internally. And that was, I'm pretty sure that's come up. It's definitely come up more than once. I want to say every time, because resting is, for me personally, I tend to do things. If I know that there's a direction I'm supposed to go with the Lord, I'm going in that direction. and right. getting me to pump the brakes can be historically has been a challenge. And we can just say that that's what evangelists do, and we'll yeah. chalk all evangelists up and just say that's default. But we're supposed to strive to enter rest, especially when you have right. a 9-to-5 job and a family and everything else. You have to learn how to handle each season.
Right.
But all that to say that you had prophetic insight for the things that I was dealing with in a way that if I were going to somebody that didn't know how to partner with the Spirit in that way, it wouldn't have come up. It wouldn't have been addressed because I wouldn't have thought to bring it up. Being able to see the gifts functioning and people's anointings functioning in that setting, I think you'll see some significant breakthrough. And like you said, there's some big identity related and soul related issues that are going to be brought to the body, and we have to figure out how to address it.
We do, and we have to do it correctly. We have to do it with compassion. Right. And we have to do it with truth. Love and truth marry together. That's a part of grace. So yes, we do. We have to find a better way, and to some extent. And hopefully, like I said, I really feel like maybe in some ways, because I didn't know personally about a lot of pastoral counseling before I started researching and getting into it. Maybe it's a pioneering mm-hmm. situation, you know? Just like before when I'm like, yep. What's a podcast? I have no idea what a podcast is. You know, Lord, he's really gracious sometimes to push us ahead of things before we know.
Yep.
We get too deep and then we can't get out. But, you know how that goes. But yes,
yeah, I think I'll be giving you the word rest.
You'll be giving me the word rest. Right. Right. Tell your listeners know rest is power. The enemy can't move in rest because he doesn't have it in him. So that's what I mean. If you go to a secular counselor, it's not like, I don't consider that to be a negative necessarily, but they're more likely going to say, if you have anxiety, you know, why are you anxious? Let's look at this. How can you do things differently? Which is not negative. It's not a bad thing. Or as well as here's some medication, you know?
Right.
So there's a big difference when you're moving with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows. He knows each person intimately. He knows their heart. He knows what they're struggling with. He knows the agenda of the Lord as well as the agenda of the enemy. So to be a conduit for the Lord to move in that way is an honor and a blessing and is desperately needed, in my opinion. And we can do that with
absolutely.
People. Again, like I said, I minister to people all the time who are not believers. Who are not believers. I've been so encouraged because honestly, Jesus died for everybody. His blood covers everybody. And most people are just, you know, literally one encounter with his love away from coming to him, you know?
Right.
So, and they're desperate. That's the truth. They're desperate and they really are hungry. It just looks different, if that makes sense.
Right.
So they will receive. They are receptive. As long as you're not a jerk about it, they're
receptive. Yeah. Well, people are generally receptive when someone's showing authentic interest in helping them, and it's
compassion.
It's interesting. It's a different. It's just it's just a different way of reaching people.
Yes.
Okay. So how did you hinted at your testimony earlier? So what is your testimony?
How did I get to be?
Yeah.
Interesting. I was doing a whole lot. No.
okay.
Let me think. Where should we start, Lord? I was born into a non-believing family. My parents divorced when I was about 9. My mother, I always tell people, and I think this is probably TMI, but it's important, I guess, in my story. My mother left. She had an affair and didn't want children anymore. So she left and went off to have her life. And my father at the time decided he was gay. So he started going into, you know, homosexual relationships and got involved with a homosexual man and they moved in. And so I was raised for a long period of time in a homosexual household. This was long before it was common. Like, it is more common now. It was not common back then.
Right.
And he was also, because he was not a believer, he had got into the occult. So we had a lot of occult activity in our house. And I became, at a very young age, pulled into like what we would call back then the New Age movement. Okay. Yep. But my heart and my goal and all of that was to find God. Because even as a small kid, I knew these people are messed up. And there's got to be, in my young brain, there's got to be a God that cares. Who is God? You know, so my whole time my time in the occult New Age, I was searching for God. Okay. My family was very abusive, extremely abusive. You know, we almost faced death on several occasions. And anyway, so I'll go through that, ended up finally being kicked out, which was a blessing, on my own, and, met my husband, who was a believer at the time, though he wasn't walking very well. I'll just say that, and got married. And then we used to have arguments about Jesus because I was still a New Ager. We've argued over stupid things like, does this table have a soul? Does that tree have a soul? It was stupid. Anyway, one day I thought I was going to show him up. You know, I thought I was so smart. I'm going to show you up. I grabbed his Bible and I said, okay, God, you got 5 minutes to prove who you say you are in this book. If you're God, you can do it. And of course, I think God loves stuff like that in a way. He doesn't kill us first. So he did. I was just reading John.
He doesn't kill us first. And,
he doesn't kill you first. He's like, okay, give her 5 minutes. You know, then we'll decide. So I'm reading in this book. I'm reading in John. I can't tell you what I was reading, but the thought came to me, if any of this is true, you're in trouble. If any of this is true, you're in trouble. Mm. It wasn't God loves me and it's butterflies. It was. Wait a minute. It was like a veil came off. That's all I can describe it. And I got down on my knees and I was like, this is the short version, by the way, come into my life, Jesus, you know, if you're God. And I got up immediately and threw away all my New Age stuff, immediately cleaned the house, all of that. Called my husband and said, hey, I accepted Jesus today. And he was like, what? You didn't believe it. It's like, what? You know, and so he came home and I'm like, so should we be going to church? He's like, what? You know, so and that became like we started going to church, and at that time, because of my background and because the enemy knew my future, okay. That I would often be involved in stupid accidents. Like I'd be sitting in a light, somebody would rear end me. Okay. One time I was driving, and Houston has a lot of freeways. I was driving by the Galleria, which is a big mall here. And it was 5 o'clock traffic. And I was sitting in the traffic. No one's going anywhere. And behind me, an 18 wheeler comes barreling down and doesn't stop and slammed into me. And threw my car across like three lanes of traffic. So my car is spinning through traffic on the freeway. And the whole time I'm like, I'm dead. I'm dead. And I had just become like a believer. I think I was like, I've been maybe 6 months, maybe, you know, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And my car stops and I'm facing oncoming traffic. And when I see the car coming towards me, it's like slow motion in a movie. The guy throws his hands up because I'm suddenly in his lane, and he's like, "I'm gonna hit you." He's like, "I don't know what you're doing here." And he stopped with like an inch of hitting me head on. And I heard God's voice quickly say, "The car is broke by this point, practically in half." Okay, and all that's playing is the Christian radio station on the radio. Okay, and I reached down because I'm. And turn it down, and I hear God's voice, and he says, I am with you always. So, you know, we had all this, like, after that, I developed some fibromyalgia and stuff, and I developed a lot of physical problems because I kept getting in these weird accidents. People would be like, and the sad thing, I have forgiven the church for this, but it's a common thing. Instead of trying to figure out the church we were going to, which was a charismatic church, why is this happening? you know, this is a young convert. They shouldn't be having this much, you know, trauma all the time. They were like, oh, you have more trauma. Well, whatever. You know what I mean? We're doing our thing. We're over here being religious, doing our thing. So I started investigating, you know, places to get prayer. And I ended up going to Florida to get some healing and deliverance prayer. Because I was like, Lord had told me, you're going to go to Florida. See, this is what makes me laugh, because I didn't know. I was clueless, absolutely clueless. You're going to go to Florida and you're going to get deliverance there. And I'm like, that's awesome. What is deliverance? I don't know what deliverance is. I'm totally being honest. I'm not making this up, because this is what I'm like, okay. And you know what he said? He said, don't worry about it. Just go.
If I tell you, you're not going to go. So I'm going to wait.
Don't worry about it. Just go. So I go to the place in Florida. It was Francis McNutt's place. Awesome, awesome. Christian Healing Ministries is the name of the place. And they did like a 3 or 4 day healing session for people. It was amazing. You know, they trained in all this. So I go through the whole, you know, 3 or 4 day thing, and they're doing different things. And when they learned that I had been in the occult, you know, they got someone special to come in for that. And that was interesting, and did some deliverance, you know. Then I learned what deliverance was.
They brought in a specialist for you?
Not a specialist. Like, yeah, because apparently I scared them to that level. Yeah. You know, because I was like, yeah, I guess they were used to a lot less intense people, probably. Probably so. But I told them when I was there, again, Jesus says, I'm going to go through deliverance here. And he said that y'all would know what to do. And they were like, okay. Wow, we don't have people that come in with all this information. I'm like, okay. So anyway, did that, got a lot of freedom. And I promised the Lord then, you've healed me. He healed me. He delivered me. I will do what I can to help others. Because at that time in the church we were at, that wasn't happening. You know, there was not a ministry or anything of that nature. I just didn't know what it would look like. So, you know, fast forward, I start praying for people. People are starting to get healed left and right. One of the first healings we had was a lady who had a bleeding issue, kind of like the scripture. She was going to have a hysterectomy. And I know we've talked about this. It was Christmas Eve. And I was at a different church by this time, like more like a mega church, I think. Mm-hmm. And because it was a lot. It was going to say 1,000 people. So we were in the choir, of course, and I've been praying for people individually, doing what I promised God I would do. People were getting healed. And so she came to me, and I prayed less than 5 minutes. I didn't know it, but God miraculously healed her. She went to the doctor. She had stopped bleeding. Her tumors disappeared, and they had the test results, all that on paper.
Yeah.
So after this break, we come back, and I walk into the church. And one of the pastors comes to me and says, so-and-so got healed. You now have the healing ministry. And I was like, what? You know, so that's I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, she got totally healed. Yeah. You have a gift of healing. You have the healing ministry. So I started doing, and this is up in like suburbia, just so you know. Okay. You'd be shocked at what goes on in suburbia. Okay. The healing ministry for this little church. In deliverance ministry, we had people come from out of the woodwork. And so I started doing that. Then God, like I said, asked me one day to do a podcast. I started doing a podcast about the different things that the Lord had showed me. Then I got a call to start doing a training here in town. And we called it Kingdom Nights. That's probably one of the things you heard. That exploded, and the podcast went all over the world. And I ended up traveling to all over America doing conferences and things of that nature before I stepped back. And when I stepped back, the Lord told me, you're going to take a break. You're going to do a business. I did that for a while. And you're going to get healing, some more healing for yourself, which I needed at that time, because we never stop needing healing, and we never stop, as you already know, and you already talk about needing to grow, you know, more into his likeness. Right. And then he asked me to go back into counseling. And so I started this and started the podcast again. So that's kind of it in a short.
Encapsulation.
Short encapsulation.
Well, you were also in the time between Glory Reign and water to wine, you had you were doing the TV show.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So, you know, my training in college was in drama, of course. Of course. It was in drama because we had so much drama of our own. So, I had a friend who was doing, I think it was TBN Salsa, that launched a network. And their goal, as you know, was to reach all the English-speaking Latin American people in the country here. So they were doing programming that would appeal to mostly Spanish people did not speak Spanish. They wanted to reach the younger generation. So my friend was the producer for that. He said, can you come do set design for us? And I'm like, set design? Sure. Why not? So, you know, I did that in college. So I do set design. I showed up one day to fix the set and the lead interviewer that they had, their host, didn't show up. But they had to do the tape. So I'm standing here and my friend's like, Mignon, you have to go do the interview. And I'm like, what? You know? And so I went on, I did this interview with this person. And after that, I did all the other interviews. And so we did about 2 or 3 years, I'm trying to remember, of this show. And I was the only gringa on the show. It was me and all these other beautiful Latin people and me, you know? And we interviewed, it was very crazy the way God does things. It makes me laugh now. Because when I was in college and young and wanted to be an actress, you always want to do television. You always want to do all that, right? But I had walked away from all that. And here it was. And I think we had you on there once, didn't we? I think we did.
Yeah.
I think we did. Yep. So we did that.
We had that taping the same day as you had Carlos Anacondia.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we had amazing people on this show, and I am still to this day embarrassed to say people I don't know who they were, but they were famous in other countries, and they would come in, and we would tape probably several segments at a time, you know, and Carlos Anacondia was one of them. He was one of the big ones, I believe, and that was the same day. That's right, I remember.
Yeah, because we hung around. I didn't know who he was. I had the whole family out there and we hung around to hear Carlos Santa. And it's funny because he reminds me, him and the pastor that I work with in Juarez are similar. One, that they're short and Hispanic, and older, but also, but also that, you know, talking to him, he just a very quiet, soft-spoken man who just loves the Lord. But man, as soon as he started praying, it's like, whoa, who's that guy?
Yeah. Power. Yeah, I have to say, looking back over the journey, it has not been a boring one. but yes, I did the show for a while, and that was really cool. And I want to say this too, because this is just coming to me, because some people, you know, I think some of what we're seeing now is ministry fatigue. Some people, the Lord is actually going to ask to step down and step back because he wants to retool them. Right. And some of them, because they're done. Okay. There's either one. All right. You never stop ministering. Okay. People have this thing. People would say, oh, Mignon, oh, I can't believe you stepped down and all this stuff. And I can't believe you pulled back. Oh, what are you doing now? You're not just a housewife, are you? You know, just really kind of, you know, smarmy, derogatory, you know, kind of stuff.
I'm sure they didn't think they were being that
way. Well, I don't think they thought they were being that way. Okay. I think they were just like, and I'm like, just because you don't have a camera in your face or a microphone in your face doesn't mean that God doesn't use you. God uses, we're going to be shocked by the people that we've never heard of that are way ahead of us in line in heaven that God used.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I just encourage if people that are watching you are going through that season or God is asking them to step down, you know, there's a purpose for it. And it doesn't mean that their gifts or their calling is ended at all. It just means they get a chance now to get closer to the King and get retooled for the next thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's important to have those season, and I don't know if it's seasonal or you know, I guess it could vary depending on the individual or the ministry, but to have the come away time. You see that with Jesus, right? Where he's got the 5,000, but then he dismisses them all, and it's just him and the Lord on the mountain. You know, he's by himself. You see the back and forth of with people, and he's like, all right, you guys go that way, I'm going this way. I think we, at least for my in my own mindset, it's I tend to think of things in terms of like a what track am I on, and almost like a train. It's like, okay, I'm going in this direction, so we're going to continue going in this direction until he says change direction. And being led of the Spirit, it's you know, one day you're I don't know, you're doing itinerant conferences and traveling all over the U.S. with the number one podcast and or number two podcast, and then a couple weeks later or a couple years later, you're back in the quiet with the Lord and going back to school and preparing for an entirely different thing. And mm-hmm. we tend to think in very linear terms of this is my calling, so I will do this one thing, as opposed mm-hmm. to being sensitive to how the Lord leads in that way.
I think we all tend to do that. I think some of that is immaturity to some extent. And like I said earlier, we have a culture we've created in the church of movements versus a culture right. based on Jesus, you know? And it's costing us greatly, actually. There's nothing more important to me personally than my relationship with Christ. I've done television. I've done those things. I don't have a driving interest or driving desire to minister or to have any of that. It's not right. in my makeup. And I know what that comes with, and I know what that looks like. And I know how much of that, unfortunately, that Christ is not in. So I'm a lot more concerned, especially, and I hope that's maturity. Let me just say that. I'm a lot more concerned about my personal walk with Christ. What would he have me do? My relationship with him, because that's what eternity is. All these gifts, all this right. stuff will go away. It's always about him. I think if we could flip our mindset, if we really, really could flip our mindset from superstar ministries and work, doing the work, to actually having a relationship and focusing on that, it would bless yeah. our lives in so many ways. It would ease the burdens that so many of us struggle with. It would keep us from wiping out, burning out. It would keep us from a lot of the demonic resistance that we face. Okay. It would also keep us out of the areas of pride and other areas that open doors that create things like, here we go at IHOP or whatever the next thing is. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah. our focus yeah. has been so over here. And I really believe the Lord's trying, and he has been trying, to turn us back to him, back to simplicity, back to love, mm-hmm. love of him, back to letting him do the work. When we do the work, we take his glory. So there's a big difference there that we need to grasp. Yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I agree. What's some of the things that the Lord has been showing you recently? I know you got, you know, you have the Water into Wine. You also have the podcast yourself, right? So that you've relaunched yes. that, and you're letting, yeah. you're sharing the stuff that the Lord is saying to you personally. So what are some of those things that he's been saying to you for that you have a green light to share?
Last 2 years, I did relaunch the podcast because I was testing mm-hmm. the waters, let's say, when the Lord said, just start it and see where it goes. And I've got about probably, I don't know, anywhere, I think about 40, 50 podcasts on there. I think something like that. I don't know, mm-hmm. to be honest. So I'm thinking the majority of what the Lord has shown me that's coming is like for this year, especially, there's going to be ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And one thing the Lord has really emphasized to me, and he's given me dreams and different things to put this on. We have these voices screaming, everything's going to be awful. And then we have on the other side, everything is going to be, you know, wonderful, and revival's going to happen. And people are being harassed and confused because the prophetic voices right. are harassed and confused. You know, what I have right. seen is as long as we stay in Goshen and stay in him, it doesn't matter what's happening. We're going to be okay. I do believe that God is going to be doing outpouring. He told me this. He's already started outpourings in different places of his presence. Outpourings are not the same thing necessarily as a revival. It's him being poured out. It's his glory being poured out. I do believe we're going to start seeing that in very unique places. I also believe we're going to see it in homes. I believe we're going to see it in places we don't expect, public places, grocery stores, you know, and schools, of course. I also believe we're going to see a lot more people going home and a lot more ministries being brought down, especially in this season, because we're moving into the time of truth. We're moving into the time when the exposure is getting really intense. Back in 2019, one day I was doing the laundry and the Lord grabbed me and said, things are about to change. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is back in 2019. Things, you know, we're not set yet.
Drastically and he told changed. Me,
yes. And, you know, when the Lord says things are about to change, you know, you start to ask for me. I usually ask, is it for me
right.
or the world? Who are you talking to? You know, what are we talking about?
Right.
He showed me a big wave that pulled out of the ocean. You know how like a wave receded. And that when that happened, all the stuff on the bottom of the ocean was exposed. So he said, things are about to change. And I was like, oh, okay. I understood things are going to be exposed. And he said, it's going to go out for a little while. He said, but then it's going to come back. And when it comes back, it's going to crush everything. So I was like, okay, well, you know, we get these images. We don't always understand them. Well, then 2020 happened, you know, the election. I knew that Trump wasn't going to be president. You know, he told me this is what's going to happen. I tried to warn some people in a kind way to say, get your focus where it needs to be for this next season.
Right.
Well, recently, I will say one of the things recently he showed me was that there was going to be, he showed me another way of a dip, and it has to do with the housing market, that the housing market is going to go down. But again, if we stay in him, we'll be okay.
Right.
That was going to fall.
Yeah.
And that there was going to be some more instability. Now, having said that, God never tells me it's going to be bad. He always tells me I have good plans for you. I have good plans for my body. You have to be able to start in every prophetic encounter, every prophetic word you get, you have to start with the nature of God. If you don't start from that place, that's when you get afraid, anxious, pulled back and forth between this prophet and that prophet and all these prophets. So I don't know if that's answering your question, but I try to teach people on the podcast how to do that. How to start with the nature of Christ, with everything, how to stay in balance and do that so that you can read the time and seasons and you can know his heart in those time and seasons no matter what is happening.
Well, it's you're demonstrating an ability to steward the information, right? So it's when God says there's going to be, you know, say he says a downturn in the housing market, you know, something that maybe somebody on the outside looking in would say, oh, that's a negative thing. When you know the Lord's heart, he's telling you because he wants you to be prepared for it. He's not trying to create the sense of fear. And I found that when people respond to what looks like I'm not even going to call it a negative prophetic word. God just saying something that is not overtly encouraging immediately, when they have a negative response to it, whether it be fear or, you know, anxiety, frustration, you know, whatever it may be, it's more revealing of where the body is, but also the maturity level and understanding the person of the Lord, that he's not narrowed to only doing what we expect. And you know, if God, it's kind of like, you know, a parent that says, hey, we're going to go somewhere different tomorrow to their kids. You know, if they're used to being in the house every day, and they're going somewhere different, it doesn't mean that it's bad. It's just giving you preparation. Hey, we're going to be somewhere different tomorrow.
Right.
I love that the picture of Goshen too. That's because I think we have to be able to steward information, and we've been so narrow in our understanding of the Lord that it's like he's just looking for somebody that he can tell things to.
And I will say this too, absolutely, and someone that can handle things with his heart. And a lot of things he tells people, I just want to throw this out there, and I know this has been echoed by other people, which is because it's true, it's not for everybody. Sometimes people go, oh God, okay, and they immediately get on social media and give out the information. And that is not what God wanted. And what happens is when that happens, he'll start to pull back because he can't trust them. I knew, for example, that Trump wasn't going to win. Okay. I prayed that he would because it's better for the country.
Right.
But the Lord said, you can't say anything. Don't say anything. He wouldn't allow me. Okay. And he would said, you know, you have to be in this time and season, we have to get out of the mindset of we want so badly to use our gifts to be the people that people go to. You have to turn your eyes and say, I really need to learn to love Jesus. Because he's my future, and he's the one that I'm going to be serving for the rest of eternity. So let me get that correct, whether I give out words here or not, you know, because what's happening is it's creating chaos and it's actually creating, you know, schizophrenia in the body of Christ and division, which is exactly what the enemy wants. A house divided doesn't stand. So we have to be smarter. Especially people that are anointed have to be a lot smarter because they're going to be required by God to be accountable for what they're doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's my kind of, you know, harsh admonishment there in some ways. You know, hey, stop it. Just stop it. Stop it and get back to the focus.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we did that, it would cut out a lot of the problems that we're having.
Yeah, I think... it's almost like insecurity is kind of a driving factor in a lot of those things of, you know, why something that I find myself asking a lot, and it's halfway praying and halfway just kind of muddling in my own thoughts, is why do people do what they do? You know, why is this person acting that way? Why are they getting defensive when I ask a question? Why are they getting, trying to why are they shutting down? Why are they acting like a victim? You know, why are these things happening? And a lot of times it's an insecurity, and it kind of goes back to the need for counseling, the need for therapy, the need to have those things addressed. So that's my way of bringing things full circle. You see how well that worked?
Very good. Very smooth. I like it.
I'm gonna pat myself on the back. right. Well, Mignon, would you pray for our audience? Anything that the Lord puts on your heart?
Yeah, I would be happy to do that. We welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for Jeff and this program. I thank you, Lord, for just the incredibly creative way that you love and minister to your body, to your children. I thank you for every single person who's watching this or who will watch it, that you have blessed and gifted each one of them, Lord, with a special purpose and a special calling and special insight. And Lord, right now, I just agree with you to bless those areas in their lives. Father, I ask that you would continue to quicken our spirits, that you would continue, Lord, to uproot and remove those things that you did not plant, that you would continue to remove and cast down the places of anxiety and fear and trauma and drama that have tried to make inroads in our lives. Lord, I thank you that your greatest desire is to bring freedom and wholeness to each person. So I ask for that, for every person listening. Lord, I ask that even at this moment, they would feel a touch of your presence, that you would begin to lift their burdens, that they would encounter you, Lord Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, as their counselor. I ask, Lord, that you would begin to remove restlessness and grief and begin to just touch every place in these people that needs your healing. I thank you for your love for them. I thank you that no matter what comes, Lord, you always make a way and that you are Goshen for them. We just thank you so much for your presence and we ask your blessing for them in Jesus' holy and mighty name.
To hear more podcasts, schedule a counseling or mentoring session, or to access helpful videos for your faith, simply go to our website, W2WC.org.